Hello, everybody. Joe Burrow and the boys are back in action. No more knee brace, but no appendix either. Another limited offseason, or will he be quicker on his feet? John Sheeran breaks it down. By the way, I'm Huxbill Turtle Advocate Dr. Hoji the Electric Smoothie, and I'm also joined by Dollar Bill Mock Turtle Soup Advocate Daddy Mustache McDuke. If you want your Bengals news, just go to the official site. But if you want to hear reckless over-analysis of that news, then stay right here for the number one Bengals podcast. Yeah! All right! Hello, I'm Daddy McDuke.
Yeah.
You're watching the Mon Bengals podcast on Believe and on DNH Sports TV. I'm joined, as always, by Dr. Hoji, Dr. Gasmoji.
Hello.
And John Diana Ross Sheeran.
Love it.
And we got a lot to talk about. I mean, I can't believe how much we got to talk about. Really eventful day, if you will. But before we get to any of that, we have to talk about, of course, Brinks.tv and my favorite show on Brinks.tv, Conspiracy Now, and the latest show. Now, again, I had to prepare for this show, so I only got to see the first 3.5 hours of it, but it is about 5G internet and the effect it has on you and what is really behind it. And they say it is, the internet is so fast that you get hyperactive brain activity.
Whoa.
And they are using that energy to, in the future, to power cars. And it is a attempt by certain politicians to essentially forget about a certain demographic and hurt coal miners and other people like that. It's a fascinating documentary.
Which
fascinating.
Is, coal miners are a big part of who watches our show.
Right.
We're popular among the coal miners.
Yeah.
We are the canary in the coal mine, so to speak.
We are. We really are. But I also want to say, if you're watching this show and you like this show, make sure to tell your friends about it.
If you have friends.
Yeah.
Because if you like this show, you might not have too many.
I don't know about that. I mean, money can be your friend. And I think we've given a lot of sound advice on the show.
That's right.
Yeah. But, and also, you know, subscribe, turn on notifications, leave comments, all that stuff. We want to see some engagement. We want to prove to the board that we're trending upwards, if you will. John, we have 25 seconds for you to say something.
John. The Believe Board? I don't think I've ever met the Believe Board. Have they met you guys? I don't know if they
yes,
know
Yes, it was nerve-wracking because, frankly, we didn't act very professional. On the Belief, when we met with the Belief Board, they were a little bit disappointed in us and in some of what we do for the show. But anyways, they still let us.
Yeah. On. Yeah. It was very confusing for them because they do have a hit podcast, the Believe in Bengals podcast.
Yeah. And it turns out we're not number one.
And they just realized that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awkward. But look, let us get to the good news. Joe Burrow is back in action.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Burrow has been rocking and rolling. He has no knee brace on. He is flying all over the field.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is having his first offseason without any major injury, without any sort of disruption. And
wait a minute.
Brian Callahan came out.
I'm guessing he didn't hear, John.
Did you sleep all of today? Did you not?
I read that Brian Callahan said the one thing he wants from Burrow is for him to avoid getting sacked, and that is what they're working on, if that's what you mean. But I think that with that brain...
He's already kind of been sacked a little bit by like a doctor.
He's been sacked by his own body. Okay. You know, he had his appendix taken out, Daddy-O, and I'll tell you what, among us QB coaches who specialize in the occult sciences, there was a theory that the mojo is located in the appendix. So I'm very worried.
So I saw that. I want to say that I saw that, John. I'm not ignorant. I saw that and I looked and it said his appendix. No, it said his appendix was removed. And I don't see what the big deal is because as far as I understand, the appendix is that reference to all the other things you've written down.
It's like that little piece of paper
they have on their wrist, the little cheat sheet. And Joe Burrow never needed that. And now he has all the plays memorized, so he removed his own appendix. That is what I understood.
I don't know why you're freaking out.
It is good news.
Nope. There's a little organ in your body called the appendix. And when it explodes, you got to get it removed.
Okay. We just talked about the conspiracy show. We don't need any more of that. But here's the thing. Joe Burrow is going to be fine. He's going to have his greatest offseason ever. He is a guy who, look, what's funny about Joe Burrow, John, is that they said he's old, you know, and he doesn't have as high of a physical ceiling. But what's funny is guys who use their mind to beat you, like a Peyton Manning, like a Tom Brady, these guys get better. These guys get better. It's not everything is physical.
The mind gets better with age.
Yeah, and then the game, it slows down and it slows down even more and more, John.
Yeah.
Well, everything's relative. When you say that he's about to have his best or finish his best offseason ever, I guess missing a week or two from a minor surgery is better than missing weeks and months from destructive.
I think they just tear off the paper. COVID. I don't think it's surgery.
It's in his body, man. It's an organ. It's a non-vital organ, but it needs to be taken out when it's no longer viable inside of you, which is the case for him. He showed up early for camp with other quarterbacks and rookies, and he wasn't feeling very well, and the team didn't really know what was wrong with him until they found out today that, hey, man, your appendix is kind of screwed up. You got to get that taken care of. This has happened before with other NFL players. Matt Castle is a great example. I think he came back within 2 weeks when he was still with the Patriots and I think won his first game back. So normally it does take about a week or two for professional athletes to kind of get over this. With Burrow's case, yeah, he might miss a week or a week and a half of practice. Maybe he's fully returned by the time the Bengals play their first preseason game, but even if he's not, he wasn't going to play that much in that game anyways. So in terms of practice time, yes, this is a minor concern because he's not going to get those early reps before the pads come on. But from a, you know, a totality standpoint, this isn't really going to impact their season at all.
John, let me ask you, is this related to him getting sacked? I have the numbers here. 700 times, if you count the postseason. Is this related to that? Because I know that Andrew Luck got sacked so many times he had to have a lung removed, and then he retired a couple of years later. Wait a minute.
Stop. Slow down. John, I believe him when he says that. Is that true?
You believe when he said an NFL quarterback lost a lung from being hit too hard?
Yes.
Now, if it was going to happen to anyone, it was probably going to happen to Andrew Luck, but I don't think he lost a lung. I think he also did kind of burst his appendix, but I think it happened pretty soon after he got hit. So I don't think this is exactly the same.
Well, thank you for
Joe, if you're watching this show and you need an appendix, I will offer you mine for free. I have been treating my appendix very well with organic foods and vegan foods, and you can have it.
I don't think he wants that little, you know,
dried fluffy, up appendix. Yeah,
yeah, I don't think he wants that.
He wants a young man's appendix. He's been looking at you, John.
Yeah, John.
You look like you have a yummy appendix.
Do not touch my appendix. I will be sleeping with one eye open from now on.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, wow, that was quite the segment. And in further uplifting news, I want to go to the next segment.
It was
segment.
A kidney. Sorry, it was a kidney for Andrew Luck.
That's what I said. What did I say?
He said lung. We'll call it even.
We got to get that fact checker back in here. You guys are out of control.
Angela.
Look, Angela. Yes, she's the boss. Who's the boss? Angela's the boss. Okay, look. O-line injuries. Here's the thing, John.
Oh, crap.
Lael Collins. The question was, why did he sign for so cheap? This guy's a top 10 right tackle. Top, maybe five right tackle. Top, you know, 10, 15, maybe tackle over. Very
maybe top 20,
man.
Maybe top two.
Yeah. Why did he sign for $7 million a year? Why did he sign with the Bengals? Why did he make it so incentivized? Why did the Cowboys cut him in the first place? We had all these questions. Right?
And he's going to be on the show.
And why is he going to be on the show? And then, John, all of a sudden, this news comes out about his back. Uh-oh. He has the back problems. And the back, John, is a part of the body. Just want to give you fill you guys in.
Thank you for that.
And it is a very sensitive part of the body. What they say is you never have your first back surgery. No, sorry. You never have back surgery. It is your first back surgery. And you will continue to have back surgery every day of your life. And that, John,
baby
is scary.
Got back surgery.
This guy's never going to be back. and there's no backsies on his contract. That is what they're saying. But the reality, John, is that he's fine. Go ahead.
John, who's clean up the mess that Daniel just made.
He's never going to be back. What?
I don't know. I'm just reading I'm just looking at the tweets.
This is his kind of journalism. You make a big mess and create a controversy and then throw it onto John, and then John has to deny and correct.
It's crazy because the show prep is nothing like this, you know?
No.
Lyle Collins is fine. I think there was a report from Mike Garofalo that said that if he had to play right now, he would, and there wouldn't be any issues with it. But this is kind of what the Bengals have been doing for the past few years when there is soft tissue concerns or just lingering injuries that happen over the course of the offseason. There's no sense to push it. There's no sense to get them back onto the field as quick as possible. With Lael, because it is a back injury, and you do have some logic there, they do linger. It does kind of stick around with you. It is a pre-existing issue with him. It's not anything new. It didn't just happen over the summer. It's one of the reasons why, like you said, there's a ton of per-game bonuses and incentives in Lael's contract, and he only really gets the full value of that contract if he plays every single game. And that's kind of the reason why he was available in the first place. He has durability concerns over the past couple of years, and this lingering back issue is one of the reasons why they structured the contract like that. But when it comes down to it, come September, he will have practiced by then. He may play in a couple of preseason games. There's only three, and he will be fine. With Alex Kappa, he has like a core injury or whatever.
Yeah, it said he had core muscle surgery, John. And I just kind of lost, you know, I let myself go. I gained too much weight. I didn't want to do the exercise and the diet. And so I also had core muscle surgery. And let me tell you, it grows back. I just don't get why you would do that now.
Well, I tell you.
I mean, offensive linemen, they usually lose the weight after they retire. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you. I mean, because on Village Island, when someone had back problems, we had a special massage called Elephant Stampede Massage. Five guys, 400 pounds. They walk on your back. Done.
No,
cured.
We're talking about Alex Kappa now. So Lael has the back. It's a lot of offensive line injuries. Alex Kappa had the core muscle surgery.
Core muscle.
It is more for beauty. It is more for, you know, I know.
It's like getting a pimple removed.
Well, yeah.
From
it's
your
like
butt.
They suck the fat right out. Yeah. And that is, you know, he seems to be fine, John.
You guys don't seem to be fine at all. We need to not talk about injuries anymore on the show.
Yeah. All right.
So, Kappa good, Lael good.
Lael great.
Everyone's fine. Everyone's nothing to worry about.
Joe Burrow good.
Joe Burrow.
John.
Yeah.
Might not be so good.
No. No.
Once they secretly take his appendix.
Yeah. John.
I'm going to get you.
Again, we already discussed the invaluableness of an appendix.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why you're going to steal mine.
Yeah.
Well, no, John, I think for rookies it makes
Next
sense.
Topic.
I think it makes sense for them to have the appendix until they get they need to
He's
be
still
able,
going with appendix yeah. being the okay, thing at look. The back of the book that tells you what.
Yeah. Let us go to free safety position. Because, John, here's the thing. They
free
have
all the safeties.
John, there we go. Now we can move on. John, they have Dax Hill in there at free safety. And you told me he's not a free safety. You know.
John.
I mean, this guy, they want to maybe try him outside corner. He doesn't. The plan maybe was for him to replace Von Bell. And now they are saying, hey, Jesse Bates will be back when he's back. And the thing is, John, here's the thing. Jesse Bates only needs to play, what, 6 games or 10 games? I forgot. 6 games.
Can you explain to me why he only needs to play a certain
number of
games?
So that he can get a certain contract. What is it, John? He can be eligible for a certain contract after the year.
He needs to sign his tender before like week 12 in order to get any game checks. If he doesn't by week 12, he gets paid nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
That's it? I thought it affects his next free agency, too.
Something like that. Yeah, if he doesn't play like a certain amount of games, he doesn't achieve an accrued
I wish you
season.
Did your research, yeah. Okay, so it is a certain number of games. I think it's 6, because you said week 12. That makes sense. That would be 6. And the thing is, I don't see why he would be back before that. I mean, Jesse Bates
because he would lose millions of dollars.
Well, right. But if he gets injured, he'd lose millions. So he could come back week six. Maybe they ease him into the lineup. He gets to make that playoff run again. He gets that glory. And then he lower chance of injury. You know, he's playing, what, like 11 fewer games. And then, you know, he gets the big payouts next year. Why would he come back week one? You're just saying because he wants the money.
Because of money. Yeah. Because he's only been tagged one time. And 99% of the people who have been in this situation have played basically the entire season. What makes him different than everyone else?
His agent.
Maybe.
Daddy's hype.
Yeah. I love Jesse Bates, but here's the thing. If a guy comes back right before week one, I feel like they increase their chance of injury.
I also feel like the fact that he's been in contact with his coaches and Duke and players, I feel like that signifies that there's no like there's no intensely harsh feelings that's going on right now, and he will be back in order to play in week one. But people are asking, what is the point of him not participating in camp? Doesn't that hurt his chances of playing well in another contract year? And that has weight to it, but also, you know, the reason why he wouldn't play, I think, is to preserve himself and to not be injured while playing on the one-year deal. And unfortunately for the Bengals, like, they can't fine him for skipping camp if he's not under contract, and he's not under contract, so he now gets to train how he wants to and can best avoid getting injured before the regular season starts, before those game checks come in.
So and what do you think he's doing for training? What would you do for training if you were
I'm not a safety. I have no idea.
Okay.
Can they give him like an appendix to catch him up like more quickly, like maybe just so he knows the play? Because he might have forgotten the plays. Can he use that during? I don't know. But let me ask you about Dax Hill, John.
Yeah. Temporary Dax Hill.
He's never been a free safety since high school. I think he played safety in high school, and then Michigan recruited him, signed him, and then stuck him at slot cornerback. He was a box safety a little bit in his early years there, but he really made his name playing in the slot. So yeah. Him getting all these reps at free safety or just a single or a split safety with Von Bell, I think is very valuable for him. And I think there's an understanding that whenever Jesse Bates does come back, Dax Hill becomes the reserve. He becomes the depth player. He can move all around the secondary, and Bates kind of retakes his position. But giving Dax those reps in practice with the ones where he's eventually going to be playing next season, I think that's valuable. And I think because there's an understanding that Bates still has the same role, there's not going to be some type of a controversy when Bates comes back.
Well, let's be honest. Yeah. What they're really doing here, I think, is they're playing a little bit with Dax at that position to show Jesse Bates that they have other options. They're trying to, you know, it's what you do. You play with one child to make the other child jealous. It's classic parenting methods they're using.
Yeah. You know? Well, all right. Let us go on to Paul Brown Stadium. Naming rights.
Naming rights, yeah. I heard it was quite cheap. They were selling the Paul Brown Stadium name, like, what was it, just $10 million? I can afford that.
Yeah.
A year?
Yeah. I mean, I give it all to charity, but I can afford it.
Well, all right. So, I don't know, John. My last question for you is this. How does $10 million help you sign? Because Mike Brown
Jump
said...
Change.
Mike.
Where are we getting this number, by the way?
It's Twitter.
Okay.
Twitter, John. Yeah.
So Mike Brown said, look, we got to sign Joe Burrow. We know that. That train is coming.
Yeah.
He, by the way, paying for things is like a train about to hit you in Mike Brown's mind. And he said,
in your
look.
And your mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Brown, the smart man. But he said, look, that train is coming. Jamar, T, Tyler, Boyd. It's funny he mentioned the receivers, but it's also funny this, John. Receivers are getting paid, what, $30 million a year now? So let's say 30 there.
Not Boyd.
Not Boyd, obviously. But I'm just saying, let's say 30 at least for Jamar by the time he's eligible. Right? 20. Let's say T. Higgins has an average year. It's still 20 per year for T. Higgins. Probably more, 25 or more. Tyler Boyd, 10, 15 maybe. And then Joe Burrow 50, maybe 60. I mean, that like, how does $10 million make that big of a difference?
Doesn't, unless they structure.
I'm so confused.
Unless they structure the deal in a sense where, hey, this is a 15, 20-year contract paid a total of like let's just throw out 150 million. I don't think it's going to be that high, but let's for the sake of argument, let's just throw it out. If they can structure the deal saying, "Hey, we want 80 of that 150 up front," then yeah, that helps out putting guaranteed money in escrow, but I don't think that's pretty standard. I don't have a ton of experience with how these contracts work because they've never had to do this before. But if that's the case, then maybe that makes sense. But I think you and I, Daddy, are kind of on the same page here. This is the Bengals recognizing that their branding and just their marketing ability has never been higher. There's going to be more primetime games at PBS. There's going to be playoff games that at the stadium. Basically, the stadium is going to be shown more on TV, and that increases the value of a corporate sponsor putting their name on the stadium, and it's never been as high as it is now. So I think this is them kind of striking while the iron is hot, and getting that extra revenue will help, in theory, pay contracts, guaranteed money and everything. But for the sake of over $200 million in total guarantees to both Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase at the bare minimum, I don't think it makes that much of a dent.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But he said, look, my dad, Paul Brown is his dad, he said, look, he would have done the same. He would have done whatever it takes.
I don't know about that, to be honest with you.
We live in an age of capitalism. I mean, everybody's selling their stadiums. I'm against it, but what you gonna do? Every penny counts, and if it means that we can keep more players, let it be called, you know, I don't know, Tampax Stadium or whatever they're going to call it. I mean, what does it matter? I mean, the Lakers, I'm a Lakers fan. What is the current, what's the Staples Center called now?
Crypto.com.
I mean, that's horrible. It makes me sick. Makes me
well,
rich.
What do you guys? What is your prediction for what it's going to be named?
Who in the heck knows? It could be. It could be like
Procter and Gamble.
United States Shoe Corporation. Are they still in business?
No.
I could see
Spaghetti Factory. I'm thinking of big businesses in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone proposed it should be Jungle Gyms. I think that'd be nice.
I like that.
Jungle Gyms, like he got the whole jungle theme going. Yeah. And you know, the jungle.
He doesn't. Are you talking about the Jungle Gym or the other Jungle Gym?
Jungle Gym from Twitter.
Jungle Gym. No. Jungle Gym, the supermarket.
And the guy from Twitter.
DNH Sports. I like that. Let us. We need about 10 billion more patrons and we can do it.
Yeah.
No, 10 million. Sorry. All right. So I guess that is all we have about that.
This has been such an informative show, Daddy-O.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about all the stuff we've talked about.
Yeah, me too. I really am. I really am. And I'm so glad that it was educational for a lot of people in terms of the body parts that we have.
Yeah.
And also the positions in football. When we talk about Dax Hill, I think that it's very educational. Okay, let us get it one more educational thing in there. Let us go to Daddy-O Cares.
Well, thank you, Daddy-O. And there's been some good news recently about tigers. Turns out there are 40% more tigers in the world than we once thought. And it's not like anything has happened that made these tigers more, but it's just we didn't know they were there. Tigers are hard to count, and sometimes they are hard to see. So it's great news for us. It is the year of the tiger, or rather, it is the year of the tiger. 2022 is the year of the tiger. And that's all good news, but I just want to push back against some of the narratives about white tigers. And I know this isn't related to Daddy-O Cares, but I got to say this. The Cincinnati Bengals recently came out with a video about white tigers, they revealing their white tiger thing. I have ranted enough on the show about the evils of promoting white tigers. These are an inbred tiger because they are not white naturally. It's a recessive gene. They're an anemic tiger. They do not survive in the wild. And honestly, we have to stop celebrating the white tiger, stop making a big deal about the white tiger. I love tigers.
I feel like sometimes you have a certain demographic that is not populating the way you would like, and you kind of adjust the policy. You have to balance, keep things balanced. It makes sense to me. But what's interesting, Hoji, is this.
Yeah.
Is it says, if he hollers, let him grow, which is a reference to a classic
song,
Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, which teaches you how to count.
And how to pick things.
Having said that, How did they not know how to count how many tigers are there? It doesn't make any sense. Well, you just follow the song. Yeah.
Well, they are tigers. And the tigers that are orange in the wild are camouflaged. The white tigers are not camouflaged. And so they die in the wild.
I see. Which is why we have them in Cincinnati, by the way. We bring them to Cincinnati.
Yeah, now, I also don't want to... And white tigers have been through a lot since Manticore, the white tiger, killed Roy of Siegfried and Roy in Las Vegas. That was not his fault, and Roy forgave him. But at the same time, orange and black, that's the color of tigers.
Yeah.
And that is my horoscope.
Wow. John.
And Daddy, who cares?
I mean, too. Yeah.
Ordinary Bengal tigers, they have white, right? It's like on their belly. Yeah. It's like it's under them.
Oh, that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say this. I am excited about the white. Did you see I already got the merchandise. Paid a lot of good money for that. Over there.
Over there?
Yeah, over my head. See that? To my right.
That looks like a zebra.
It's right next to Carson.
No, it's not a zebra. Yeah, it's right next to Joe Burrow. And you can't even tell the Joe Burrow doll doesn't
Do you think it's a coincidence that once they adopted the white tiger, Burrow's appendix explodes?
I think he's excited, yeah. I think he's very excited about it.
I think it's a bad sign.
I think,
He tried to write his notes in his appendix about the jersey, and then it was too much for him.
Too many notes. But I think he's getting smarter. He doesn't... Yeah, anyways, we've talked about this too much. But look, if you are excited...
I am.
And you want to burst...
Wait a minute, you didn't acknowledge the message we got from one of our fans about the t-shirts, mustache and beard t-shirt idea that won the thing, that he said he's going to get a free t-shirt and we're going to give him a free t-shirt.
Yeah, he says we need a free giveaway. If you find that free giveaway, give us some too, because we want to sell some merch. We don't have merch. I don't know where you get these free giveaways.
Well, you got at least mention the poor guy's name. In Iowa. Yes. Brian in Iowa.
Yeah. Brian in Iowa. And it was his idea for the mustache.
Hats off to you, Brian in Iowa.
And we hope to get that merch at some point. We just need a designer who's willing to work for nothing.
Yeah. And the black and white, I'm going to go with black and white, not white tiger. That's how I look at it. Is good for us, because then we can do the mustache and beard as a black and white tiger kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Fewer colors. So that's cheaper. All right, John. Any final thoughts?
Wait, are you going to talk about Wino?
Yeah. So if you go to wino.app/DHSports, we said this last week, but still John has not sent his beautiful, beautiful voice messages. So you talked about how John...
Yeah, you said you're going to do the free giveaway before I did that, actually. So I was waiting on your timetable.
I'm giving away John's time. That is for
Don't
you,
give away his
Brian
appendix.
In Iowa. Yeah. Yeah. Why would we give it away? You can make so much money off that. But John, what I want you to do is go to wino.app/DHSports and you can reply to us and you can tell us, hey, I want John to put me to sleep. I want John to help me with my yoga. I want him to... No, don't do it.
Make me cry. Make me laugh.
Yeah.
Make me sneeze. Make me yawn. Make me burp. Make me hiccup.
And he's going to do all of those things.
At the same time. Your appendix might explode.
I don't think so. Your appendix can tear. It doesn't explode. You just tear it right off there. Okay. I think that's all we have. That was a very, very eventful show.
Patreon.
Yeah. So turn on notifications. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to tell your friends. Go to patreon.com/DHSports so we can get our intern back and check these facts. And for Dr. Roger Dekter Kismoji and John Diana Ross Sheeran and Daddy McDuke. We'll see you next time. So long. Esfiti. Bye.
And his hat's gone.